This is Hampton Roads Topics. Good morning and welcome to this community affairs segment for Hampton Roads. I'm Jim Long. The program website is hamptonroadstopics.blogspot.com. And there you'll find information about the show and download the latest podcast. Today, our topic is the Run for the Dream, a series of runs and walks, including a half marathon. It will happen the weekend of May 19th and 20th in Williamsburg. And with me in studio today is the race director, Kelly Cannett. Kelly, welcome to Hampton Roads Topics.
Thank you, Jim. Glad to be here.
Let's talk about the Run for the Dream. This is only the second time this event has been held. You started it last year.
That's right.
And if I read this correctly, last year's inaugural Race for the Dream completely exceeded expectations.
Yes, we were thrilled to have over 4,500 runners and their families come to Williamsburg. 4,500 runners meant another 12,000 visitors to the area.
12,000 visitors to the Colonial Williamsburg area, 4,500 people actually running in these various races. And so tell me about the origins of this race. How did this start out?
Sure. The race benefits two important programs. One is an Achievable Dream. Achievable Dream is a nonprofit organization based in Newport News. We operate two public schools for disadvantaged children in the Newport News city. Our program is special because we're not just a normal public school. We educate on a curriculum called SAME, Social, Academic, Moral Education. We also have a relationship with Fort Eustis. This year is the 20th anniversary. Achievable Dream was founded in 1992. And every day for the last 20 years, we've had soldiers from Fort Eustis come to school and spend the first 2 hours with our students, teaching them character development. That relationship with Fort Eustis led us to Wounded Warrior programs. The founder of our organization is named Walter Siegeloff. He was up watching his daughter compete in the Marine Corps Marathon a couple of years ago. He saw the Wounded Warriors coming over the Key Bridge. It was a foggy morning. Mm-hmm. He was in Georgetown, mm-hmm. and he sees these wheels start to lead off the race, and he was inspired. He said, this is something that we can bring to this region. We need to bring this kind of race to Williamsburg, and we need to expose people to the power of the Wounded Warriors and give them an opportunity to participate in a large-scale running event.
I was going
to
say that it's not just for the Wounded Warriors.
That's
it involves
right.
them as well.
Yes.
And so there, how many, you told me off the air you have a number of actual Wounded Warriors participating this
we
year.
We do. We have a partnership with three Wounded Warrior organizations, Virginia Wounded Warrior Program, the Achilles Freedom Team of Wounded Veterans, mm-hmm. and Warfighter Sports. And through those groups, about 50 Wounded Warriors and their families are coming to Williamsburg May 19th and 20th to compete in the Run for the Dream 8K and half marathon.
Okay, and once again, this happens the weekend of May 19th and 20th in Colonial Williamsburg, and the website to find out more details is runforachievabledream.com, runforachievabledream.com. And my guest on the program this morning is Kelly Cannon, the race director. And what you said it exceeded expectations last year. What reasons do you see for that? Why did you get so much attention the first year out, do you think?
There's a lot of special features to our race. Mm-hmm. One of those is our race director. When we decided to put on a road race to benefit an Achievable mm-hmm. Dream and Wounded Warriors, we said, we know what we know and we know what we don't know. 2.5 years ago, we knew how to educate children. Mm-hmm. We didn't know a lot about road races, so we went to the best. We hired Dave McGilvery, the race director of the Boston Marathon, and his operations team, mm-hmm. Dave McGilvery Sports Enterprises, DMSE, to be our management consultants, to teach us about road races. We worked all for about 2 years with them to put the race together, mm-hmm. and along the way got a lot of attention for Dave taking on this event. He gets dozens, if not hundreds, of requests a year, and he only manages 40 events a year.
Okay.
He saw something special in our event. A lot of that has to do with the venue.
Okay.
This is an opportunity for runners to run straight down Duke of Gloucester Street in mm-hmm. Colonial Williamsburg. It's an historic venue, and it's an opportunity to really run through a museum. That drew a lot of attention. Our partnership with the Wounded Warriors is very special. Our race also happens on Armed Forces Day, a national holiday.
Mm-hmm.
About 25% of our runners last year were active duty service members who had significantly discounted registration to participate in our event.
And so over a year in development, and it looks like it really paid off for you. Now you're heading into the second year. You mentioned running through the museum, mm-hmm. That is Colonial Williamsburg. And for many people, you associate Colonial Williamsburg, the area, with cobblestone streets. So are runners running over somewhat crooked roads, or am I missing the point here?
Sure, it's a little bit of a misconception. Okay. Colonial Williamsburg, the streets that you're running on aren't necessarily cobblestone. We do have a couple different surfaces that you're running over. Mm-hmm. It's largely pavement. There's a small section that's actually an oyster shell path. The most challenging part of the course, though, is for the half marathon, a 5-mile stretch on the Colonial Parkway. Colonial Parkway is a national park. Mm-hmm. While the most challenging section, it's also the most scenic.
Yeah.
Folks are running for 5 miles on this beautiful road. They're going down to the James River, turning around at the beach, and coming back up. For runners who are, you know, concerned about running on concrete, there's a lot of flat grass on either side of the road, and that's what we saw a lot of folks take advantage of last year.
Okay, so your race course for the half marathon takes you through Colonial Williamsburg out onto the Colonial Parkway.
That's right.
So, as you said, a great drawing point
Absolutely.
For this race. And so you had 4,500 people participate last year. What's the goal this year? What do you see happening?
This year we're going to see about 4,500 folks again. Mm-hmm. We may see a little bit of growth, and we're expecting over the next 5 years to grow up to 10,000 runners.
Wow, that is quite a lofty goal. But as we see, and I've talked about many of the charity races on this program over the years, and in many cases, it starts out bigger than the organizers initially thought, and it grows year to year. And you're thinking maybe twice in a couple of years, within a couple of years, maybe twice the size that it was this last year. So, yeah, indeed, a lofty goal. Again, you can find out details about this event at runforachievabledream.com. My guest on the program today, the race director, Kelly Cannon. And if you're interested in participating, is there a deadline to get yourself registered for
this? Sure, you can register online at runforachievabledream.com up through May 18th. That's Thursday night of race week. Registration online closes at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. After that, you can come to our expo at the Williamsburg Woodlands Conference Center on Friday from noon to 8 p.m. and on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. You can register at the expos. You can even register on race morning. You have to get there an hour and a half before the start. The 8K starts at 8 a.m. The half marathon starts at 7 a.m. Last year's winner, Jim, as I mentioned earlier, he actually showed up for the half marathon about an hour before the race. He's from Northern Virginia, and his girlfriend wanted to go to the beach. He said, if you want to go to the beach, we got to get up at 5. I'm going to go run this half marathon. He'd never run a road race. He'd never run a half marathon before. He was a 10K track and field specialist out of Virginia Tech.
Okay.
He showed up. Brand new sneakers. He did all the wrong things. Within 2 miles, he'd broken out into the lead, and he ended up winning our race.
Sounds like you brought in a ringer to show everybody else up, doesn't it?
We didn't expect it. We didn't know he was coming, but it was an exciting thing. The other nice feature of his victory was that he's actually in graduate school to become a teacher.
Okay.
Had the opportunity to meet some of our students afterwards and talk to them about setting dreams and, you know, meeting your goals.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that just a bit. Now, one of the organizations that will benefit from this race is the race's namesake, the Achievable Dream Academy. And you just mentioned that you have a number of your students out there participating as well. In either are they in the race or are they participating in some other capacity?
We have students from, especially from our middle school track team, who's been training for the 8K.
Okay.
So we've got about a dozen students participating in the 8K. We also have a number of students out there as volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
When you cross the finish line, which is my favorite part of the course, crossing the finish line.
Right.
This is a really exciting finish. It's inspired by the Olympic marathon. Mm-hmm. You're actually going to enter William & Mary's football stadium, Zabel Stadium, and do a 3-quarter loop around the track, finish right on the 50-yard line.
Oh, okay.
After you cross the finish line, Achievable Dream students and the soldiers that are working with them right now in the schools are waiting to give you water right away and also to give you your finisher's medal.
And, you know, you've alluded to it just a bit there, Kelly, but we should point out that this is not just one single half marathon. You have a number of race events coming up.
We do. Mm-hmm. On Saturday, May 19th, is our 8K run walk and the 2012 USA Masters National Championships, followed by a kids' fun run. And on Sunday is the half marathon.
Now, go back to what you just said about this being the National Masters event. And what does that represent?
USA Track and Field is the national governing body of U.S. track events. They're the sponsors for the U.S. Olympic team in track and field events.
Okay.
They have two divisions, an open division and a master's division. The master's division is for ages 40 and up.
Okay.
A lot of former Olympians go on to compete in master's championships. 2 years ago, a master's level champion named Steve Chantry, lives in Williamsburg, came to us and said, USA Track and Field would like to start an 8K Masters Championships, and I think you should bid on it.
Okay.
We were fortunate enough that their national meeting that year was in Virginia Beach, came down and made a presentation 2 weeks later, and we were awarded the championship on a one-year trial period. Never before had USATF given an inaugural race a national championship designation. We think that had a lot to do with our venue, our race director being Dave McGilvery, and the amenities offered to our runners. The first 3,000 runners to register for the half marathon can get a free ticket to Busch Gardens to use that weekend.
Okay.
The first 6,000 runners to register get free tickets to Colonial Williamsburg. So USATF saw this as a family weekend, an opportunity to engage the families in their Masters Championships. This ended up being a hot race last year. Our winner, Mubarak Hussein, came in from Albuquerque, and he ran the he broke the national record for the 8K. It was a 1993 record set by Bill Rogers, the famed Boston Marathon champion. Mubarak's victory blew everyone out of the water. He cruised and won it with 1 second to spare. That has really attracted a lot of attention that this year's Masters race, we expect over 200 competitors.
So you have a lot of credentials already in just your second year of doing this event. Is there an added pressure maybe to make each event a little better? And you have a certain standard, obviously, now that you have to meet.
Well, I think that standard was really set by our sponsors. Yeah. Our title sponsors are Town Bank, Colonial Williamsburg, Busch Gardens, and the College of William & Mary.
Right.
Each one of those sponsors is a class act. Yeah. Williamsburg is known for its southern hospitality, for its tourism, and we've felt the pressure all along. We're going to leave the city cleaner than we found it, and we want to treat every single participant, their family members, every spectator with the level of hospitality that they would get at a Colonial Williamsburg hotel, at a Town Bank, at Busch Gardens, or at the college.
And what we didn't talk about there was the Patriots Challenge, which you're inviting people to not just participate in the 8K on Saturday or the half marathon on Sunday, but maybe do both. That's the Patriots Challenge.
That's right. Last year, 67 people did this.
Okay.
With no added incentive, 67 people decided on Saturday I'm going to run 8K, 5 miles. On Sunday I'm going to turn around and run another 13.1. After looking at the results last year, we said, we have got to do something for these people. That is a real accomplishment. So we created the Patriots Challenge. We said, to take on these two races really embodies the spirit of the Colonial Patriot.
Okay.
We created a special medal honoring them. And so this year, after announcing the medal, we've seen over 100 registrants for both races, and that number is growing by the day.
Pretty remarkable. Yeah. And, you know, one thing we didn't mention as far as selling this event. You talked about the historic nature of the venue through Colonial Williamsburg onto the Colonial Parkway. There's a tagline on your website, run where our founding fathers walked. That sort of ties it all together, doesn't it?
It does. It's part of that, again, that inspiration for runners to run in a historic venue, someplace that they've never run before. It's an excuse to come to Colonial Williamsburg. And really, Colonial Williamsburg is rolling out the red carpet for these runners and for their families. On Saturday night, May 19th, at 8 o'clock, is an event called Salute to the Nation. It's going to be at the Governor's Palace on the Palace Green, and it's hosted by actor Joe Mantegna from Criminal Minds and The Godfather Part 3. Salute to the Nation is an event honoring the American patriotic spirit. It's going to have fife and drums, fireworks, Joe Mantegna and other interpreters, as well as honoring some of the wounded warriors who are present. The whole event is designed to honor military service, and we think it's going to be a great event for families. That event is open to the public, no tickets required, and we'd love to see a lot of folks come out.
It sounds like it might be like the culmination of the weekend, but it's not really, because you've got more stuff coming up on Sunday with the half marathon.
It's the culmination of Armed Forces Day on Saturday, but it's also a kickoff for Sunday's half marathon.
You mentioned earlier about sponsors and how pivotal they are to making this work. I should mention that the station you're hearing this program on today is one of the sponsors of this event, just to get that out for public disclosure. Once again, this is Hampton Roads Topics. My guest on the program today, Kelly Cannon, the race director for this year's Run for the Dream, a series of runs and walks, including a half marathon that will happen the weekend of May 19th and 20th in the Colonial Williamsburg area. And we talked briefly about the namesake of the race, the Achievable Dream Academy, and I was hoping to spend a little time talking about the program itself. Many people have heard of the Achievable Dream Academy, but maybe they don't know a lot about it. So maybe you can help me fill in the gaps there.
Absolutely, Jim. An Achievable Dream operates two public schools. We're part of the Newport News Public School Program. We have an academy that's grades K through 5 mm-hmm. and a middle and high school grades 6 through 12. In grades K through 12, we have over 1,200 students.
Okay.
As I said before, the program mm-hmm. focuses in on social, academic, and moral education. We operate on an extended day. Our students come to school an extra 2.25 hours than a regular public school day.
Mm-hmm.
We have 26 Saturday schools a year for remediation.
Okay.
We also have a 30-day summer intercession every mm-hmm. summer starting in mid-July, and that's used for both remediation and enrichment programs. We're helping expose our students to opportunities beyond the classroom. We have a number of corporate partners that come in to teach real-life job skills to our students,
mm-hmm.
but they also take our students out into the community, into their corporations for job shadowing and internship programs. We start all of that at third grade. In third grade, mm-hmm. our students come to school every morning. They shake hands with administrators and the soldiers from Fort Eustis, and they go into a morning program where they shout what we call the banners. These are positive affirmations.
Right.
And they're things like, I'll be drug-free. I can go to college if I work hard.
Mm-hmm.
I must learn to earn. The kids, we tell guests they probably should be prepared. They don't just say these, they shout them. They're proud to be a part of this program. And it's something that becomes ingrained in them, just mm-hmm. like the national anthem and the Star-Spangled Banner and the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay. And who are the kids who are in these programs?
Sure. Our students are from throughout the city of Newport mm-hmm. News that we help identify the students who have the most to gain from the program,
mm-hmm.
From that extended day and extended school year program.
Okay, and this, again, is a public school.
That's right.
Is it part of the Newport News public school system? Okay.
That's correct. Okay. So our students are all Newport News city residents, mm-hmm. and they attend public school. We do have uniforms. So we have a lot of things. We're called a contract school. We're a little bit different. An Achievable Dream is a nonprofit organization that operates these public schools. The race is a fundraiser for Achievable Dream mm-hmm. because while we receive the same allocation as every public school from the school division, we also raise an additional $2.6 million a year to operate that extended day to create those additional opportunities to pay for uniforms mm-hmm. and to compensate our teachers for the additional hours.
Okay. And you mentioned about the longer hours that students and teachers are expected to fulfill.
Yes.
There are Saturdays involved. What's it like? Are people lining up to try to get their kids into the program?
Our program is definitely, it's popular, I guess, with the right audience, the right folks who identify that this is a program mm-hmm. they want their children to do.
Right.
Third grade is our entry point.
Mm-hmm.
We want all our students to start in third grade and mm-hmm. continue with us all the way through 12th. Of our 12th graders, our graduating class, 100% mm-hmm. go on to higher education or military service. But what I guess can tell you the success of the program is over the last few years, we've had a pilot program where we've allowed a handful, less than 30, of 4th, 5th, and 6th grader students who have siblings in the entering 3rd grade mm-hmm. class. The families say, I want my 4th grader to benefit as much as my 3rd grader is.
Okay. All right. And by the way, how long has this been around?
This program, this is our anniversary, 20 years of Dreams Achieved.
20 years.
We started in 1992.
Okay. I didn't realize it was that long. I was going to ask if, how the graduating classes of previous years had been doing. I'm sure you keep tabs on that.
We certainly do. Actually, 2001 was our first year of graduating seniors, the class of 2001. So this summer we're having I guess this is now the 11-year
right.
reunion for them, but we're having a reunion for all of our graduates, former students, to come back to mm-hmm. Achievable Dream. The program is really a family.
Right.
And a number of families have students in multiple grade levels and graduating in multiple years. They're all coming back. But we have, from that class of 2001, attorneys,
mm-hmm.
Small business owners.
Okay.
Our students were really given the job skills and the community awareness skills that they needed to be successful.
And let's break down, when you said longer hours, we're not just talking about longer instructional hours in the classroom. There's more to it than that. There's a lot of social etiquette going on at Achievable Dream, isn't there?
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. We have several programs in our social and moral education
mm-hmm.
program. Some of those are called Speaking Green. Speaking Green is about speaking proper business English. We also have etiquette, ethics,
mm-hmm.
peaceful conflict resolution, healthy living, and financial know-how. Each one of these are taught by either volunteers or teachers who may be a third grade teacher but mm-hmm. Stepped up to teach the ethics class. And they talk about real life scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real dialogue with the students to say, What have you learned? What did you see on television last night? Let's talk about how that conflict could have been resolved differently. Let's watch the news and say, why did this person make this decision, and what could you have done differently in that scenario?
Okay. Well, as you say that, now in my head, I'm married to an educator. My wife Mary's been a teacher for over two decades in Virginia Beach. And as I listen to you talk about that, Kelly, I'm remembering some of the things she has said about the key is to make the lesson relatable in maybe some fashion, be it auditory, be it visually, be it kinesthetically, to something that they can identify with. That's the key. And it sounds like you've really plugged into that over at the Achievable Dream Academy. And again, this goes from third grade up to graduating senior, you said.
That's right. And actually, K-1 and 2 students are zoned to an Achievable Dream Academy, and we call that the Achievable Dream Preparatory School.
Okay. And you touched on this also, the involvement of military members. Every day you have a busload of people, I think you said from Fort Eustis, come over to the Achievable Dream Academy to say what? What's their function there?
Those soldiers are assigned to us in about a 4 to 6 month rotation, and they're each assigned to a class. You may be assigned to a third grade class. Mm-hmm. And so for those 4 months, you build up a relationship with those students. You're a positive role model for them, and you're looking out for them. Every morning, the kids come in and they shake hands with their soldiers. The soldiers conduct uniform checks. Mm-hmm. They talk to them again. They relate to them, and they talk to them about their lives, and they learn about their families, and they become a real part of our school enrichment.
You know, when I first read that, Kelly, in my head I envisioned a busload of soldiers getting off and doing calisthenics with the kids in the courtyard. But it's maybe they do. I don't know.
There is an annual soldiers versus students basketball game, which I believe our students have been the victors several years in a row. They do also participate with our tennis program, but yeah, it's not just calisthenics. It's I guess they're flexing their brains as well as their muscles.
And as you said, the soldiers act as role models as something. And you said earlier about the fact that 100% of the graduates from the Achievable Dream Academy either go into higher education or into the military.
That's right.
So there's no. And is that dictated? Are they required to do that?
No, but we've been fortunate. Every year we've been able to recruit a class sponsor who makes a commitment to that class's future. And they sponsor college scholarships for the students. Mm-hmm. We work with each and every student and their families to go through the financial aid forms, whatever they need to make sure that finances are never a barrier to higher education if that's something they want to achieve. So that money is held for the students. If they decide to go to military service first, obviously they'll have opportunities through the GI Bill.
Right.
But they're also going to have that funding waiting for them to make sure that they're able to achieve education if they want it.
All right. Well, once again, this is Hampton Roads Topics. My guest today is Kelly Cannon, the race director for this year's Run for the Dream. It happens in Williamsburg the weekend of May 19th and 20th. And it benefits what we've been just talking about, the Achievable Dream Academy, middle and high school in Newport News. Now, there's another charity that the race is benefiting this year, the Virginia Wounded Warrior Program, and let's talk about just a bit about that. Now, you established an association with the Wounded Warrior Program here locally very early on as you started this race last year. It's not just benefiting them. There's involvement as well, and you spoke on this earlier. But for people just tuning in, you have several dozen wounded warriors participating in these races, don't you?
That's right. We have a relationship with the Virginia Wounded Warriors Program, who also directed us to two other really special organizations, the Achilles Freedom Team of Wounded Veterans and Warfighter Sports USA.
Right.
Each of those organizations are nonprofits that raise funds to help wounded veterans and their families travel across the country to athletic events to participate and to compete at a higher level. They started very simply in Walter Reed Army Medical Center and Bethesda Naval Hospital, introducing folks who had had significant wounds to hand cycle competitions or other opportunities to participate, and found that it's a great boost to morale and it's a wonderful goal to compete towards. Now, some of these folks are top athletes. Our hand cycling victor last year is competing for the Olympics, and it'll be an exciting event.
And you told me last in your first year, you had one hand cycle
One hand cyclist and probably about a dozen other wounded warriors participating. Yeah. This year we're seeing that hand cycle wheelchair division increase to probably just under two dozen folks.
Okay.
That's a significant increase, and we're really, I think that the runners, the spectators, mm-hmm. the citizens in Williamsburg who come out to cheer on the runners are really going to be inspired mm-hmm. by this competition. And I think what we're going to be surprised about is it's not just a moving event. It's also an exciting athletic competition. These guys go fast, 45 miles per hour downhill. So they're going to fly through the course, and it's going to be an exciting race to the finish.
Wow, 45 miles an hour in a did you say in a wheelchair? Is that
in a wheelchair.
Oh, my gosh. Is the course obviously you have to make allowances for, say, two guys running abreast in a wheelchair, don't you?
That's right. This year we've made some adjustments to the course to make sure that last year there was one ramp in particular that was about one hand cycle wide, and we want to make sure that's not at the 12-mile mark limiting factor, a bottleneck. So we're going to be building some ramps and really expanding out the course to mm-hmm. make sure that they have a great ride.
You know, one thing we haven't mentioned is the fact that, as in many races, there are prizes involved, aren't there, with the Run for the Dream race?
That's right. Our open divisions, the 8K, the half marathon, the Kids Fun Run, the prizes are bragging rights.
Okay.
Every runner gets a medal at the end. The Masters Championship does involve a $800 prize purse that's divided out. I really like what USATF Masters Division does because they divide that prize purse out amongst the age groups. Mm-hmm. So runners have the opportunity to compete for multiple prizes and can be very successful.
We have just a few more minutes to go on the program, but here's your chance now, Kelly, to state that it's not too late to get involved with this race.
That's right. It's not too late to register online through May 18th at 8 o'clock. It's also not too late to sign up to volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
If you've never volunteered for a road race before, it's something you have to do. It's exciting. We need folks in registration where you're going to meet the runners before race day mm-hmm. when they have that awesome combination of nervous, excited, and get the opportunity to hand them over their bib. You hear the stories of folks who are doing their first race, mm-hmm. competing for their best time. We also need folks out on the course marshals. A large number of our course marshals are coming from military bases in the region.
Okay.
But their job is to make sure runners stay on course. They look out for any medical issues, provide any assistance, and keep our runners safe, as well as keeping vehicles off the course. They work with the police department. We also need folks that we call ambassadors. Okay. This is where we could really use local support. Mm-hmm. Ambassadors' jobs are to answer questions, help point folks in the right direction. We give them all the information they need to know about the road race, but locals with a local knowledge can be helpful in answering questions like, where should we go to dinner tonight? Where can I get pasta?
Okay. Yeah, that's true. You have to brace for a lot of people coming from out of town.
That's right.
And and the ambassadors would be the people to ask about that.
Yeah. Last year, our race field included runners from 48 states and 5 countries. This year, we're up to, I think, 35 states mm-hmm. and 3 countries, and that'll be growing in the next 2 weeks.
Okay, so you're anticipating more than 4,000 runners and perhaps maybe 2 to 3 times that amount in family members and other support. Coming into Williamsburg for just that weekend to participate in the annual Run for the Dream race series up in Williamsburg. The race website, once again, is www.runforachievabledream.com. My guest on the program today, once again, has been Kelly Cannon. She is the race's director for this year. If you have any questions, you can visit the website. There's her phone number also that they can call to get
details. Sure, 757-599-9472.
And Kelly said earlier, it's not too late to get involved. In fact, you can register the day of the race, as last year's half marathon winner did, like a half hour before the race began.
We'd like them to be there a little more than an hour before.
Yeah. It worked for him. But that's all the time we have on today's program. My guest, again, Kelly Cannon from the Run for the Dream. Thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Jim.
And that will do it for this edition of Hampton Roads Topics. Remember to check out the program website, hamptonroadstopics.blogspot.com, for details about past and upcoming shows and to download the latest podcast. I'm Jim Long. Thanks for listening. I'll see you here on the radio next Sunday morning.